In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Christ is in our midst. We now begin to prepare for Great Lent. And Lent is still three Sundays away. But today our Lord begins to tell us that there is something that we need in our bag as we begin that journey. What we need is humility. Mercy and repentance comes to the humble person, and the one who trusts only in himself, the one who is like that Pharisee in the parable, is unable and unwilling to receive the gift of God's love. I want to take a few minutes and puzzle through something. This publican, this tax collector, who humbles himself and cries out for God's mercy, this man has a story. And Christ does not fill in the details. He leaves the story up to us. And more, I am convinced that we do not fill in those details correctly. The story usually goes something a little bit like this. The publican is a tax collector. In particular, he is Jewish, but he works for the Roman Empire. He collects taxes for the Romans from the other Jews in Palestine. No one likes a publican. A publican works for the enemy. He's a traitor in the eyes of others. In addition to this, we know that the tax collectors of the time were very corrupt. The tax collectors were known to keep some of the tax money for their own use. Despite all of this, the job is a very nice one. If you are a tax collector, you're rich. People fear you. They know that you could report them to the Romans and that the Romans would then make your life very unpleasant. A publican was rich and powerful, even if he didn't have many friends in the community. Now, Jesus tells us this morning that one of these publicans, he has a change of heart. He comes into the temple and he falls down and he humbles himself and he cries out, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." But he doesn't tell us the backstory. Jesus doesn't tell us where this repentance comes from. And this is where you and I begin to fill in the details. Typically, we imagine that something in this man has finally snapped. Something broke through his hard heart. Something softened him. Maybe he just couldn't take it anymore. All the names and the nasty words behind his back. Maybe he couldn't live with the guilt of stealing from his friends and from his neighbors. Maybe he saw a sick child or a homeless family that he himself put out on the street, suffering. In any case, something happened, we imagine. And the shame of it just grows and grows to the point that he has to run to the temple, a place where maybe he has not been in 20 years, but a place that he knows he must go in order to respond to this crisis, this personal crisis in his life. There is some cause that tells the publican, go to the temple. Because of what has happened, now run to the temple and ask for God's mercy. If this sounds like a good backstory, hold the thought for a minute. If this sounds like a good explanation of why the tax collector is praying in the temple, keep an open mind for another few minutes. On the one hand, this imagined story about the publican and his change of heart, it makes total sense, total sense. He's having a crisis. And the temple, God's house, is there to help. Isn't that why we come to church? We need help. And the church is here to help us become better human beings, less petty and selfish, and to help make this world a better place. This is where we get it wrong. This is where we as Christians have accepted a lie about who we are and about what the church is. Our world is full of people who are searching for help. We are searching for help. We all want to become better people. We want to improve ourselves and to improve this world. And each of us is doing the best job that we possibly can. But there's this weird story, that we tell ourselves. You get your help from watching baseball. I get my help from volunteering at the animal shelter. You get your help from being a good Republican. I get my help from working hard to be a good Democrat. You get your help from Oprah. I get mine from Dr. Oz. You listen to classical. I listen to country. You go to the beach on Sundays. I get my help from church. But this is where things have kind of gone wrong. This is a terrible lie about the church. It really is. Christianity is tolerated by others because it has become just one more possible source of value, just one more possible source of help for people who want to improve their lives and who want to improve the world. The world says to us, it may not be for everybody, but if it helps you, that's great. You can be a Christian, and once that stops working for you, don't worry. Help is all over the place. If Jesus is not your thing, try Buddha or start a new Facebook group. And we accept this story about the church. This sounds true to us. But this is not why the church is here. To quote my good friend Father John Parker in South Carolina, Christ did not come to make bad men better. He came to make dead men live. The church is not just one more possible source of help for people who want to be better citizens. The church is here because this is where people gather to meet the risen Lord. That's why the church is here. The liturgy we celebrate is given to us so that we might enter the kingdom right here and right now. Today, where you're sitting, where you're standing, today a new creation is revealed. It started the moment that you got out of your beds and started making your way to church, and it continues to grow around us. Today, once again, new life floods from the cross, and the great sign of the kingdom that we are now entering is the sign of joy. Joy that God's love is so much bigger than our sins. Joy that nothing can separate us from that love. Joy that the life which Father, Son, and Holy Spirit shares with one another is now offered to us in this place, at this worship, whether we are a saint or whether we are a sinner, whether we are a publican or a Pharisee, whether we are an apostle or a tax collector. Joy that sustains us even when there is suffering. Joy that helps us pick up our crosses and follow the Lord to his cross. The church does not offer help in the way we normally think. The church offers life. Life. This is why we are wrong about the publican. Go back to how we fill in those blanks. The publican must have had a breakdown, must have had a crisis at home or at the office, and now he needs some help. Now he goes to church. But this pattern is backwards. It's backwards. This is the pattern of first repentance, then church. Repentance is the cause. Church is the effect. But this is backwards. The pattern is not first repentance, then church. The pattern is first church, then repentance. The difference between those two figures in the parable, the difference between the publican and the Pharisee, is the difference in their expectations. When they entered the temple, what did they expect? The Pharisee, the righteous one, expects nothing different. Nothing different. Another day, this one will unfold like all the other ones, according to the rules. No funny business, no surprises, everything is under control. The publican, that tax collector, had no expectations except that God's will be done. He expects God to act. He expects to be encountered by God's divine love and mercy, and he got exactly what he was looking for. God's will is anything but business as usual. God's will is a wild and crazy question mark. God's will surprises. It turns things upside down. It turns things inside out. In the temple, the God of all creation makes himself known. The one who made heaven and earth, the one who made all things visible and invisible, the one who made the sun and the moon, the mountains and the seas, this one greets the publican, and the publican's knees, they tremble. Wouldn't your knees tremble just a little bit too? This is the pattern of first church, then repentance. First church, then humility. First God's love, then our response. The publican does not go into the temple because he needs help. He goes to the temple because he needs God. And God is waiting there in the worshiping life of the community to greet him. The church is not the effect of his humility, something in second place. Church is the cause of it. It causes that humility. The publican does not seek to encounter God because he has first found humility. He finds humility because he is first greeted by the Lord. The temple sparked his repentance. In a moment of clarity, he saw how much bigger God's life, how much bigger God's love are compared to his own smallness and to his own sinfulness. Brothers and sisters, our Lord tells us this morning that the journey to Holy Week, the journey through Lent, it does require humility. But Jesus does not say, now good people, go out and get some humility and bring it to the church. He doesn't say that. He doesn't. Jesus tells us exactly what to do. Jesus says, come and let me greet you, and I will give you everything that you need. My love will so overwhelm you, the joy of the kingdom will so overwhelm you that your pride will fall away, your heart will be humbled, and your joy will increase. During Lent, enter the church as the publican does, ready for the Lord to act. Don't enter like the Pharisee, who wants nothing more than safety and a good showing. Enter the church and contemplate Christ. Enter the church and learn from his humility. Enter the church and receive again and again the words of eternal life that he offers. Enter the church and be touched by his hands and embraced by his arms. Enter the church and bring your crosses to Christ and walk with him into the resurrection. Don't come to church to find just help. Come to church to find life. Don't come to church because you are already humble. Come to church so that you might find and grow that humility. Don't come to church because you have already repented. Come to church. Enter the kingdom, taste its joy, and repentance will blossom in you just as new life blossomed in the publican. Glory to Jesus Christ.